very much in favor of the counting of points.
Does it work for you? No.
Hello and welcome back to your favorite figure skating podcast, The Run Through, where we talk about all things that make us kiss, make us cry, and make us go, it's a week off from skating. So what do we talk about?
Not for everyone.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
I'm grateful
to be here.
And I'm grateful for you guys and for our listeners.
So thankful. Sarah, you had the most fabulous 2 weeks. How long were you away?
Yeah, 10 days. I mean, okay. I was gone a total of 2 weeks, but the last few days of it were out of family Thanksgiving in Florida, which I don't consider part of the overall trip. So,
right. You're really like truncating it at Europe.
Mm-hmm. I mean, truly like the Milan to Orlando juxtaposition was
jarring.
Interesting. It was eye-opening. Yeah.
How did it open your eyes, actually? I'd like to know.
I don't know. I just felt immediately like I could go bankrupt from lack of health care when I set foot back in Florida.
Oh, it's, yeah.
You know
back,
what I mean?
You were put back in place.
Yeah.
You might even say back in time.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's true. Yeah. No, yeah, it was lovely to get away. I'm happy to be back with you guys, though.
And we're happy to be here.
If I could record all my episodes from Lake Como, I would do that.
That
I do want to just say I would do that. Yeah, yeah.
Can I share something that I am thankful for as well, in addition to you and to the listeners and to you being back and out of Florida?
Please.
Yes.
As the listeners of the podcast know, Michelle Ellis, who people did gasp for at the live show in Lake Placid.
And one person stood.
Yes.
True. True. Shout out to them.
Shout out to the one person who did stand. We're standing like emotionally for her.
Emotionally, always afoot.
Yes.
Spiritually.
Yeah.
Upright.
She's like our national anthem where it's like all rise. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
We're like,
take
at
off
attention.
My hat. To
all
her.
Rise. Like Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not the
exactly.
name of her new show. No, it's All's Fair. Never
all's
mind.
Fair.
Yes.
And all is
all
certainly
rise.
All is certainly not fair with Michelle.
No.
So while we were in Lake Placid, I was chatting with Michelle, and she egged me on to a purchase that I've had in a cart on Etsy for like the longest time.
She's such an egger.
I know about this.
Yes.
What did you buy?
So I have it right here. It looks like the Bill of Rights.
Oh, like I know what this is. I saw this happening in real time.
I'm going to show you guys. It's amazing. I have two things.
Okay.
The first is...
Yeah.
Describe it for our audio listeners.
Yes.
I was showing it to our visuals. It is an ad for Chesterfield cigarettes by... Sonia Henny. A Sonia Henny Chesterfield cigarette ad.
It's like a mini poster.
She
or
looks...
like a magazine ad, maybe?
I think it's from like a magazine, have to imagine.
Incredible. Do you know what year it's from?
It says 19, I think this said 1945 somewhere.
Fitting.
And incredibly, when smoking was cool.
Right.
I was more thinking
actively sympathizing.
I was more thinking the end of World War II.
Right.
Yeah.
Standing in support.
Yes, 1945. It says right.
Okay.
Now I have another one, and this is also Sonia Henny, an ad for Double Mint Gum.
Love.
Why does she look like the animal crack?
Shirley Temple.
Shirley Temple.
She looks like Shirley Temple in this.
She does in that. Ad.
You can't convince me that they're not the same person.
She's
right
there. Versatile because she's doing a Double Mint Gum ad where she's styled like a 12-year-old, and she's doing a cigarette ad where she's styled like a burlesque
a hooker.
Dancer.
Well, she's really covering all ends of the spectrum here, like the total experience.
She's
you have your cigarette, and then you finish it off with some gum.
That's so true. Like, you don't want your breath to smell like cigarettes? Have a double mint. I'll sell you both.
Well, she was doing it in opposite order because the double mint ad is from 1938.
Okay, so she was a child.
She grew up. Yeah. She was like, fuck the gum.
Right.
Have a cigarette.
These aren't working for me anymore.
The gum just isn't taking the edge off like it used to.
Yeah. Right. And you know how like Orbit gum, like their ad is like, dirty mouth, clean it with Orbit gum. And hers was like...
clean mouth, dirty it up with a cigarette.
With Chesterfield cigarettes, yes. And so that's what I got. And I do love it. I'm going to get them framed.
I think they're cool.
Where are you going to put them?
Oh, probably like, I don't know. Somewhere so people can see it.
Next to his bed on his nightstand.
Yes.
It's a good conversation piece.
It is.
Totally.
Why do you have this skater selling cigarettes? And I'll be like, well, have you heard of World War II?
Right. Come on a journey with me.
Well, have you ever tried to smuggle something into another country? Have I got a story for you?
Oh, my God.
Did your dad sell furs internationally? Then you're going to love this girl.
Well, very cool purchase, Adam. Congratulations.
Yeah, worth
thank
it.
You. And a big thanks to
Michelle.
Michelle, yes.
Yeah.
Specifically.
Professional egger. I feel like
true.
That is her MO. If you want to do something, she's going to convince you.
No, if you don't want to do something... True. She'll convince
she's gonna
you.
If you're on the
you.
Fence, she pushes you off the fence in the direction that she feels is best.
For her, yes.
For her.
This is best
so
for
now
all
she
of us.
Knows someone who has a Sonia Henie smoking poster.
I actually just received a text from Michelle that is relevant to something I want to bring up.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness. Well, should we... let this go in that direction, then you have a story to tell.
Yeah, wait. Actually, before I tell the story, let's tell a story about our future in a month.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to highlight the one thing that I do for this podcast.
Banners.
Okay.
Graphics.
And we're not talking about Boston.
So.
Yeah.
The Run Through Live at US Champs. We will have a show on Thursday and a show at Saturday. And when you're in your car or at home thinking to yourself, they never tell us where this show is. True.
You're right.
You're yeah, that's right. Correct.
You're right.
And so today we're going to tell you exactly where it is at Keener Plaza.
Yeah, Keener Plaza. It's a park that's a 10-minute walk from the arena.
Just 10 minutes away.
On a balmy St. Louis day.
It's a 10-minute walk. It's like a half mile. It's in a park
inside.
There is like an indoor warmed area. So we are not doing outdoor shows. You do just have to go outdoors to get to the park.
No, if you think that the three of us would do anything openly outdoors in St.
You're wrong.
Louis.
Well, Ashley
I
would.
Ashley would.
Ashley would.
I'm not afraid of the elements, but we aren't going to make you guys sit outside in the elements to listen to us. That's cruel and unusual punishment. So we will have those two shows. And when we put these tickets out, there will be times attached to them.
Yeah, there will. We're confirming finalizing the times right now, but the plan is that Patreon subscribers can buy tickets this week, as in tomorrow or today, because today is Tuesday if you're on Patreon watching.
You're
this
listening
video.
To it today.
And if you are not a Patreon subscriber, tickets will go on sale 24 hours after the Patreon tickets go on sale sometime on Wednesday. So, yeah, we sold out these shows really quick last time. So if you want to come, please buy a ticket. We really want to see as many of you as possible.
And good news, we're trying to schedule this so that I don't have to vanish I Dream of Jeannie style immediately after the show so I can actually hang out and chat.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Meet me in St. Louis.
Yeah, meet me in St. Louis. And if you want to bring us bags, just make sure they're not that hideous Louis Vuitton bag.
from Sex and the City.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah, don't bring us those.
Don't bring us those.
No, please. We have so many Louis Vuitton bags from our listeners already.
Oh my God. I remember the era of skating when fans would buy people designer bags.
Yeah, I remember. It was like right before we started skating.
Exactly. We were not of that era, but I believe, wouldn't Johnny get designer bags?
Johnny would get beautiful, like heirlooms, things that are heirlooms.
Yeah. And the only time I got designer bags was when Adam would pay
my part of the phone bill.
Adam and I were on the same cell phone plan, and he just wouldn't pay for a while. And then one day I'd come into the rink and there'd be like a designer bag waiting for me. And honestly, that was my favorite.
I kind of like that form of payment.
I loved it. And then when my house got robbed 3 times in 2 months, every single one of those bags.
I was trying not to laugh.
Was taken.
It was a traumatic time.
No, it was awful.
Fine. I think of them often, though, and I hope that they're happy wherever they are.
You know, I'm thinking about it now, Ashley. Is that a good form of payment? Because, like, in a way, you just paid for them yourself. In my mind, when I was doing it, I was like, this is an amazing way to pay my phone bill off.
But you have great taste. And so you would get me bags that I would never have purchased for myself.
I think that's good payment.
I liked it.
Yeah.
You know me. If I didn't like the form of payment, I would be like, thank you so much.
Yeah, you'd take me to collections.
Cash is king. okay, Sarah, off of the recording, you started to tell me a story.
I did, and then, we stopped ourselves.
And we paused.
Yeah.
And I feel like I can't wait any longer to know what has happened.
No.
Okay. So last week, Jackie Wong was, as he always does, live tweeting the, you know, jump by jump results at the Finnish Grand Prix. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
He tweets out Jason Brown's short program, which has triple flip, triple axle, Q with a foot down, triple edge, triple toe, and then his score, 87.66. Okay. Somebody replies to that day. So this is over a week ago at this point, and says, this guy can't even rotate a triple axle. When will they stop giving him Olympic spots? They robbed Ilya of his spot in 2022. I hope they don't rob another young American skater in 2026. Okay, so that's a week ago.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Jackie replies to this person and says he, as in Jason, has literally outscored every American man this season except for Malinen. Okay, so again, all of this happened a week ago. Sunday, Andrew Torgachev replies to Jackie saying that about the outscoring. And he says...
Wait, a week later?
Yeah.
So he's been stewing on this.
Yeah, as far as I can tell, Andrew Torgachev name searched himself.
Okay.
And just was like going through the archives.
Okay.
And by the way, he was not mentioned by name here, so I'm not exactly sure how he came across this, but... I'll tell you why I think he name searched himself after this. So he replies to Jackie saying that and says, quote, Jason is amazing, but aside from the numbers, what does the actual program look like? Does the program warrant those scores or is it a stretch? Not for nothing, I skated almost clean in France and got 161, 2 triple axles and 2 quad toes with 1 really bad double toe combo. And I don't think my skating skills are that bad, dot, dot, dot.
Not the dot, dot, dot.
That's the tweet.
The silence.
The silence is deafening. But so...
there's a couple of things. First, it's like, you want to bring this on to yourself?
That's
right
exactly
now?
What I'm like. This is not
why
the battle that you should be... picking.
No.
Well,
as someone who's coming off a fresh 22nd place,
as someone that is openly conservative.
I mean, as someone whose ass got saved by Jason Brown at the World Championships.
Right.
Like that the U.S. almost did not have three Olympic spots. This is the battle you want to pick. Like, you know, if you want to sit and be like, I deserve better scores than someone like Tomoki or Max, like people who are on that, that's who I would say you are in the tier with after the way that World Championships went. Jason is not. Like,
you guys aren't in the same tier.
I mean, Jason is having issues with his skating this season. There's no question about that.
Right.
But like, and beyond any of that, it's just like, this is so classless to go online and question the merits of the marks of one of your competitors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I'm going to say this. Not remembering my history, okay?
No, don't. I don't want you to remember your history.
I've probably been too sassy, but I've grown.
No, you've grown and learned.
I've grown and learned. I've probably been too sassy in my life, for sure. So maybe I've said something along these lines, but if I could go back in time and say, shut the fuck up, you haven't been skating clean enough to be talking like this, I would.
You know what, though? I think that if somebody had said something about you, you would have clapped back, your favorite thing to do. But I think that if somebody was saying something about one of your competitors, you would go, I have to be beating them to be saying something about them.
Yeah,
or like to even have any sort of. And listen, I think like when you're a skater and you're in it, this can be like a frustrating thing that you might be like thinking. But at the end of the day, when you're like an athlete, like, It's especially in the sport and the way that it's judged, it is only about the numbers. And if your numbers aren't like close, you need to like take a minute and analyze what are you doing versus what are they doing. And it can be frustrating of like, hey, I'm doing all of this technically and this is what he's struggling on technically. But to be a really good competitor, you need to see like, okay, well, they're getting points somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just performance and execution and skating skills. Jason is getting a ton of points in the way that he does the other technical elements that he's not struggling with.
When the elements are good, they're amazing. He's squeezing every point that he possibly can out of the elements.
Right. So it's like he might be struggling on a few things that you've done throughout the season. But like to be a good competitor, you need to objectively look at like what your competitors are doing and know where the points are coming from. And this feels like maybe he didn't do that.
Well, but you know, I could imagine that as an athlete right now who does not have a secure spot for this team, I could imagine taking a step back and looking at the situation and being like, he's getting all of these points and he's not skating that well. And I could imagine that being incredibly frustrating.
For sure.
And I adore Jason. I do think that his reputation for being top quality has definitely supported him through a season where maybe he's not showing up as, you know, polished as we've seen him, but he's always kind of messy in the Grand Prix season. Last year was the same thing. Like, I'm not worried about what Jason's going to be doing by the time Olympics comes around. I have no idea what Torgashev's going to be doing by the time Olympics rolls around. And I kind of feel like that's the difference here is, his frustration is obvious and I think kind of fair. Your position's not settled. Like, you don't feel confident in what the next couple of months look like. So I get that frustration, but to do this, that's not.
I mean, it's just, I think too, like, and I'm not saying this is right or wrong, but we all know that your component scores will go up with reputation, with consistency. And, you know, Jason is under rotating some of these jumps, stepping out of these jumps this fall. But like overall, Jason is going on what? Like 12 years of, for right. the most part, being incredibly right. consistent, aside from seasons when he was injured. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's just so...
He's
I don't
just
know.
Established.
That's the way that it is. And like, you know, we can sit, I guess you can sit and be like, well, that's not fair that the component scores are based on consistency. And that's a different conversation.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But it's not a conversation mm-hmm. you as his competitor needs to be having with people online.
Right before an Olympic qualifier.
Right. Because this is like not going to, because to be fair, like, Andrew had an opportunity to be like, I'm better than Jason at Worlds.
Yes.
Where like he had so much momentum throughout that totally. Entire season. Clean during the Grand Prix, this amazing national skate. And then when Jason was like bad at the Grand Prix, but then went to Worlds and was like regular old Jason, reliable Brown in the top, what was he, sixth?
He was eighth. But still, like, he hasn't been outside top the 10. Top 10 in, mm-hmm. I don't know.
12 years. Yeah. I don't think he's ever been out of the top 10.
Yeah.
Right.
But he was, like, reliably in the top 10. And, yeah. like, that was Andrew's opportunity to, like, beat Jason at home and, like, solidify, no, I'm the number two guy. And he didn't do that. And so, I mean... You want your components to reflect like what you've done and what you're doing, but if you've basically not been in the top 20 at both of your world championships, that's not going to help your components.
Yeah, that's the thing. You're just kind of he's in a tough spot, but he's in a tough spot because when it really comes down to showing up, he hasn't been able to deliver under pressure. And so what that ends up translating into is less reliability. And because of that, you're not necessarily going to see the second mark that you want to. And that, like you said, Sarah, is a different conversation, mm-hmm. totally valid conversation to have. Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of the problem with the sport, but that still does exist. So
yeah. And I think it's like, it's one thing for you to say, I feel like my components should be higher than they are for what I am doing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's another thing to say, well, are his scores warranted? Like, leave him out of it.
No, that's completely
you know what I mean?
True.
Like, if yes. you want your components to be higher.
Talk about that.
I mean, you can say that. I don't think anybody would judge you for saying, hey, I think I'm getting hosed a little bit on components when I'm really working hard on X, Y, Z, like, whatever. Mm-hmm. But to call into question someone else's marks is a big yeah. problem. And yeah. especially when it's your teammate. Like,
right.
this isn't some random guy from another country. This
right.
is
like,
someone who
he's
going
to know about this. So would you say that to his face?
Well, and somebody who kind of saved your ass a few months
yes.
ago.
Yes. Right. Yeah. And who has saved the U.S.'s ass multiple times. Like, do you think U.S. figure skating is going to look kindly on this? Like,
no.
Or like look into it and be like, you're right.
Yeah. Right. You're right.
Wait, you're right. No, they're not. They're yeah. going to go, you're
let's
wrong.
Let's kick him off the team.
Yeah.
right. I
He's
mean,
no longer eligible.
Yeah. yeah.
I mean, that is just I think, a perfect example of like your frontal lobe needs a little bit more time to bake and maybe.
How much longer in the oven?
A study just came out that we are typically in adolescence until age 32. So,
damn,
he's an adolescent.
Really?
I just uh-huh. missed it by a couple years.
I know. So, I think I love his skating, and when he's on,
me too.
He's one of my favorites to watch. I really like him.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Ugh, come on.
But it's just it's a bad look too. Like, you know, let's say that. Like, we do all assume Jason will get one of the Olympic spots, and then let's say that Andrew gets the third. Like, that's weird. Then you're in, like, a weird situation where you were criticizing his scores and you guys are going to the Olympics together.
Right. I mean, I've criticized people's scores, so I'm going to say that. I've done that.
Well, in adolescence, it was until 32.
You right? you weren't 32 yet.
But, like, looking back... Like I said, you can always comment on your feelings and how you feel whatever about a situation. But as soon as you bring someone else into it, it's not going to read well with people.
Huh, yeah.
I know that now. And it also just like really affects your image. Huh,
it's just petty.
I know that now.
It's just petty.
Just comes across as petty when I think he has valid frustrations mm-hmm. that aren't just going to be as heard now because of the presentation. So he did delete it though, right?
He did delete it. By the way, the way that I know he was searching his name is mm-hmm. because he also posted an Instagram story where he had screenshotted like three different things that people said about him and then said,
backing
I'm taking
himself up.
A break from social media. See you guys okay. on January 8th.
6th.
I knew it. I knew somebody was going to say, see you at January 6th in D.C.
at the Capitol.
Before we go to St. Louis.
We ride.
But yeah, so it's just, there's a lot swirling around that I haven't even been able to like fully understand all of it, but it just seems mm-hmm. like he got on the internet to take out some frustration, which we've all been there, but
yeah.
I think it's ill-timed and mm-hmm. the frustration is misdirected if it's directed at Jason. Yeah.
Yes, that is just it. It's just misdirected.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I do think to just put this out there with athletes, I think it is important to remember that sometimes they haven't been given like the full set of life experiences that might right. help someone make a decision about whether or not to post something like this. And while it's not cool and I don't agree with it, I think also giving him some grace to take some space and maybe gain some perspective, see what he does with that before, you know, totally annihilating him online would be a nice opportunity for the fan base too. Not excusing it, but just reminding people that he's an adolescent.
Like you said, Ashley, I think we all are fans of his skating on this podcast. So
yeah.
I hope that he is focused on that because that's what he really needs to do well in yeah. order to achieve his goals. And the tweeting and whatever is not going to help, you know?
Twitter should be taken away from all athletes during the season.
Yeah, it should.
Like, truly.
Yeah, I mean, it's like what we were talking about, you know, with Ilya back at the beginning of the season when people were criticizing his programs, right? It's just like it's too tempting for the skaters to see what everybody's saying about them and if it's going a certain direction to then reply to it. I mean, and that just makes it worse, you know, whether yeah. they're right or not about what they're saying.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oof.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like we're going to have a hard time selling the leftover Pizza King buttons.
Did we even make any?
I thought we did.
We did. Well, no, we made Pizza King buttons for Boston Worlds, but we did not sell them all. Mm. So if anyone wants one now, let us know.
Yeah. We're trying to get rid of them.
Oh, okay. Well.
We do. We're selling those wholesale. So,
no, Adam.
Just Adam, come back to us.
I'm lucky. I'm excited for my team, except.
Good luck to everyone except.
Except.
Yeah, it's.
I mean, it is what it is. Listen,
yeah.
We didn't tweet it, so whatever. Don't tweet.
Just focus on your skating.
Skate.
Focus on your skating.
Focus on your skating.
Landing jumps is real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Landing your jumps is real. Twitter is not real.
No.
Twitter is not real.
Except to me, because I live there.
You do.
Yeah.
I love it. I love
Sarah
it.
Sarah Hughes is chronically
online. I love it. It's my my home away from home, my asylum where they raised me.
I will search my own name and I will search the run through because I want to know what the people are saying. So
yeah, but I've you haven't screenshotted a compilation of those tweets and said, I'm taking a social media break, which I do think is the difference between you know, pre-32 and post-32.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, I think I took a social media break when people were telling me to kill myself on social media, so...
Well, and look, you didn't. So you won.
I didn't jump off the bridge that Susie Q 2419916 told me to jump off of. So.
Watch there be someone who actually has that username who's like, I know, hey, right?
That's my name.
I never told you to do that.
I would never say that.
I think that this ties really nicely into something that also happened post 32, and that is Sonia Henie doing cigarette commercials in 48.
Wait, what? 48.
1945.
Oh. 8? 45. You said me. 5. Yeah. Okay. I'm just making sure. Okay. So Grand Prix Final is this week.
Yes.
Can you do a little previewing of the Grand Prix Final?
Just want to let everybody know that Piper Gillis, every single Grand Prix Final, she posts a little video of what outfits she might wear, and she asks her audience which one she should wear to the gala. And I want to talk about this. She had one dress that was really cool. It was brown with like lime green print on it. Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
That's the one I was voting for.
Okay. And then there's one with like the little hip cutout. Mm-hmm. That's the one. I like both. Just letting people know.
What is the gala music? Do you know?
No,
this is like the banquet.
Oh, okay. You said
a banquet gown. Like it's a dress.
Understood. Yes. Okay.
I'm really torn, you guys.
I'm not.
You love them both?
I love them both.
I mean, she will have more banquets to go to. She can wear them both this season.
She might do. I want her to do a little change halfway through. That's diva behavior.
Also, all of like the, like now we're starting to see a lot of like the endorsements that the skaters are doing. Piper and Paul's, they're really making me itch to go to the mall. To go to a Lululemon.
Yeah.
Yeah. To go buy some Align
tights. I'm itching.
I mean, that is like the US team gear. I mean,
never compares to Canada's. Yeah, I always think
I know.
Team Canada has the
Lulu
best gear.
Is just, it's too good.
How do you beat Lulu?
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah. You get sponsored by a GLP-1. That's how you beat Lulu.
Yeah. Another L in the America column.
Yeah.
GLP-1.
I always, as an athlete who was a, I'm trying to think if I went with a sponsorship or not. The Team USA athletes who are sponsored by medications.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like the most American capitalism healthcare system
thing.
Totally.
Yes.
And I know that I was approached by one. I can't remember if I actually did it or not. But let me tell you, the coin.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, those are the ones that pay the best.
They pay out the ass.
They pay for you to forget your moral code.
Yeah, there's kind of, as like a niche sport, there's kind of no way that you can say no to something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
There's not like, and it's so easy to be like, I would never do it. Well, yeah. Mangiarno, whatever.
Yeah, right. When Lily comes in and says, hey, do you know anyone who has diabetes? You say, I'll find one.
Is it that hard to contract? Because I'll get it.
I mean, you're talking about in a niche sport. It's like Serena Williams is doing ads for these drugs. Like,
yeah. Well, she's taking it too.
She's taking it. Yeah. And I think her husband is, or like she's on the.
No, for sure. It's like she has a stake in the company. Yeah. But it's like, yeah, medical money. No one seems above it.
Big pharma comes in during the Olympics so hot.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do.
But nothing says, it's time to watch a bunch of athletes compete, like paid sponsored ads.
I mean, I'd argue nothing is more American than commercials for medicines.
It's so weird.
So to get people in the patriotic mood during the Olympics, you got to just try to
get them
as
to the
much
pharmacy
medicines right. possible.
Try and get them on some Mangiarno. Yeah.
You got to get them to get thinner.
It's flu season, everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. Go USA.
No, but back
put
to
on
the
those
Lulu
stars and stripes and head to the CBS.
Mm-hmm. Get in so line. Stay in line.
Okay. I do always love the Ralph Lauren ads, though, because I feel like the athletes, They are very specific about what athletes they choose, and it's the most stunningly gorgeous athletes that Team
models.
USA has to offer.
They want models.
I was never offered a contract with Ralph Lauren.
But you did CoverGirl.
I know.
Yeah, so you're fine.
So, I'm fine.
Stop.
Because they famously take the ugliest people that they can find.
CoverGirl, yeah.
Cover this with makeup.
I won't disclose who said this to me, but we were looking back over at our CoverGirl ads, and she very subtly was like, wow, they did a lot of work in post on your nose. And to this day, I still think about it.
I'm going to think about it forever as well.
When we get off, I'll tell you who it was. But it lives with me.
That's crazy thing to say.
It's a crazy thing to say because my nose is perfect.
And I small.
Mean, agreed.
They it's made it tiny. Smaller.
It is perfect.
It's funny how those like random things that someone says to you will just stay with you forever. Like, I remember like when I was in college and we were like doing like some like hair dye thing in the dorm. And so I was like washing my hair, but like we were like clothed. We were like washing our hair in the sink because we were mm-hmm. doing something. And I was like then conditioning my hair. And my like best friend freshman year was like, you're not going to use that much conditioner, are you? And looked at me like I was insane. I didn't think it was that much. And now I think about it every time I condition my hair.
Right. You're like, is this too much? You doubt yourself now.
Constantly. Yeah. I have never forgotten that in my life.
And you still, and you've never run out of conditioner since.
Yeah. That's true. I've been using the same bottle since that day. Yes.
Rationing it.
Yeah. So, wow. They did a lot of work on your nose in post.
Yeah. And to this day.
What do you think they did to your nose? Tightened it? I can't even think what they did.
It was a serious beat, let me tell you that. And I think they took brown and went like this, and maybe like the ridge of my nose was like a line. I don't know.
Okay.
Well, let's talk about the Grand Prix final.
Yeah. What
back to Japan.
Yeah, back to Nagoya.
I mean, it's fitting. It's fitting, especially in this like women's event, because I think that we have a clearer understanding of who is going to be on that Olympic team. For me, it feels like two of those spots feel clearer than the rest.
Yeah, I agree.
Yep, Monet, Kaori.
Yes.
Feel very clear.
And what's so interesting is that, like, if Ami skates really well, she could beat both of those girls.
True.
But if she's not as stable as Rinka, Rinka's, like, consistency could, like, win over.
Really pull her through. Who do you, between those two, who do you want to see round out the team?
Probably I think I prefer Ami skating.
Me too.
Yeah.
I'm such a fangirl of Ami.
It's tough. Like, we've had this conversation all year. Like, there are several Japanese women who I just hate that they will have to miss.
I would put my life on the line for the majority of the Japanese women skaters.
Yeah.
I love them all.
But I think if we're down to Ami and Rinka, I probably prefer Ami skating slightly more.
Ami's short program has me. That is probably what wins me over is the short program.
I think the long program feels like young, but when I think of like young people watching it, I feel like she's going to get so many people into the rink.
Right. The adolescents.
Yes.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the other thing. She's 6 years younger than Rinka.
Oof.
She's born in 2008.
I think that she should quit. Because that's too young.
She's a minor.
Yeah.
2008?
Yeah.
She's 17. That was 17 years ago?
Yeah, don't think too hard about it.
I won't. I'm going to get vertigo.
She'll be 18 in April.
Whoa, that really feels bad.
I know.
Congrats.
It really
I still am cheering for her.
I'm saying it as like, you know, that if you're like the Japanese Federation, and I think they're a lot more objective than this in their selection. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, if you're looking at it, the 17-year-old going to the Olympics is like a good play in the long run, probably.
Well, and also at this Olympics, like if she skates well at the Grand Prix final, we know that her ceiling is maybe even the highest out of all four of the Japanese girls, women. Yeah. They're not girls. Agreed. At this event. So it's, I mean, just because we know her ceiling is high, it doesn't mean that like she should get that spot. But if she skates well at the final, it's going to be very hard to make any sort of argument against her by the time we get to Japanese nationals.
Yeah. And then Alyssa Liu, Amber Glenn round out the field. Two people whose Olympic spots also feel pretty good.
Yes.
Like they're going to have this placement at the Grand Prix final to add to, you know, the point system. It's going to be really hard, you know, if they just like skate solidly at nationals, even with some mistakes.
I mean, they have
hard to get them off the
team. A lot of criteria.
Yeah.
Going.
No,
for
they
them,
do. So. I feel like they could afford like a fourth or a fifth place at nationals and be fine.
Yep. I agree. I agree.
Like, I still don't even see that necessarily happening.
I don't either. No. Yeah.
So. Yeah, I think I am curious like where they end up in this field. If the Japanese
well, there's
women
a world where they could genuinely
sweep this podium,
go
or
5-6.
Totally.
Or there's 1-2.
I don't think that's gonna happen. Like I feel one of the most evenly matched Grand Prix finals I feel like we've seen in a while in the women's event. I don't necessarily feel like there's a clear winner here.
No.
If everyone were to be completely clean, who do you think would win?
Ami.
You think Ami. I think Amber. Who do you think?
I was thinking Kauri.
I mean,
this is
just
a perfect
like,
example of why this is so evenly matched.
Right.
Yeah.
Where we just thought exciting. Of three clean pro. Oh my God, I got... goosebumps.
Yeah. I love the Grand Prix final, you guys. It's so, I love like the compactness of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And just the stakes of it. I love it.
Yeah.
Like the preview of Worlds and or Olympics in this case is just, it's too good.
It's so good.
I mean, if we move on to the men, this is where I feel like for somebody who definitely has a ton of pressure on them and is like just expected to be the runaway favorite of the whole season, knock on wood, Ilya has been living up to all of the hype and then some this year. So if he's able to, I mean, he's by far in a way absolutely on the Olympic team. There's no way that he's not.
No. Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, did you guys see him on the float? The Thanksgiving
Oh,
float?
Yeah, I did.
Wait, no.
He was on a float in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
I'm like chopping things and I look up and there's Ilya.
Yeah, he was on like a peacock / Olympic float with a couple other athletes from other sports.
Yeah.
There
great.
He was.
Flying high. That's our boy. Flying high. Floating.
And sticking the landing.
Uh-huh.
That was a better appearance. That was one of the best appearances off the ice that we've seen from him as of late. Like the shirtless.
Oh, wait, the photo shoot. We never talked about the photo shoot.
We never talked about the photo shoot.
Okay, this is kind of why Ilya's winning me over. The insanity, just the absolute.
But that's not his idea.
It doesn't
so
matter.
So really, Ari is winning you over.
I don't know. I don't even know that for sure at this point.
Yeah, okay, I agree.
Like with
he's
the,
like, put me in a bed of flowers, shirtless.
Make me fashion.
Yeah.
Give me fashion or give me death.
Yeah. He wants like to be avant-garde fashion. That's what he wants.
I don't care that much. I'm like, cool, go off.
I mean, yeah, you just at a certain point you have to just be like, I mean, okay.
Yeah, that's exactly how I am. I'm like, okay.
And I process it.
I kind of like we need characters.
Yeah.
We need skaters doing cigarette ads again. We need skaters.
He's a half a breath away from a cigarette ad. I'll say that.
Yeah. But and if somewhere not a cigarette, in the world, Javi Fernandez is going to be like, what the fuck?
That should have been me.
That should have been me.
And you know what? You know, sorry, Ilya's... I hate to say it. Cigarettes are fashion a little bit.
Yeah.
They are making a comeback. And as a child of the 90s, this blows my mind.
Well, they're better for you than vapes. It's all relative.
Right.
Yeah. I feel like that's what's happening, right? Like people are starting to smoke cigarettes they're again, like, in part because they're healthier. Vapes are bad. And yeah, right. And it's retro.
Right, because they don't want popcorn lung.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oof. So Ilya should win.
Oh, yes, by
yeah.
a mile.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, I really want to see Shaidarov get himself more organized.
I would like all of these men to be a little more organized. You know, like I think they have all, I mean, Shun Sato has had some great performances. I mean, outside of Ilya, he's probably been the cleanest of the people on this list.
Yes.
Which is kind of mind blowing to me.
You know, like Yuma has not been able to put it all together yet. Mm-hmm. Adam Xiao Himfa, kind of same situation. It's just a little rough around the edges every time. Same with Shaidarov. Obviously, Daniel Grassel, who, frankly, I'm shocked to see in the field. Mm-hmm.
Are you shocked? Who would you imagine should be there?
I think I just wasn't thinking through it. I don't know. I didn't realize that his placements were high enough for that, especially after Skate America, where he was fifth.
I agree. After the Skate America, I was like, I didn't even think. Yes.
So, like, yeah. I think I just, like, put it out of my mind when he was fifth at a Grand Prix that wasn't high enough. And here he is. Because it's, like, it ended up being a tie break between him, Kazuki Tomono, and Lucas Bridgeski. And he won on the tie break. So that's what happened.
And when you have someone like Kevin, who wins one of their Grand Prix and then was
10th at the 10th. Other one.
Yeah, 0 points recorded for Skate Canada.
It really throws...
You don't get any that when you're that low. Yeah.
Yeah, damn. It throws the whole thing. So.
Yeah. So, I just was surprised to see him here, not because somebody else really deserved it, just that I just assumed he wasn't.
Right.
But you know what? Like, the world needs more...
Religion.
Yeah, agreed. conservatism.
I mean, we know that Ashley needs more religious education.
That's true. And it's continuing every single time I see him on the ice. So I'm excited for what's to come.
I think this could, who knows what biblical lesson will come out of this appearance by Daniel
Grassel. We could
get
started on talking about the disciples.
Yeah, that's so true.
Right.
Yeah, you can ask so many questions.
Why was Judas in trouble?
Why was he? You know, I've been watching a lot of The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives, and I actually do feel like I know a lot about what it means to be Mormon now.
I believe that.
I think I agree with you.
It's a lot of pop.
It's a lot of dirty sodas.
Dirty sodas, that's right. I want to try one.
I'm sure they're delicious.
I'm sure they're so good.
Yeah. I'm sure I'd have one dirty soda and I'd be like, all right, give me the secret underwear.
What exactly is in a dirty soda?
They're like
more sugar.
It's probably about 25 pumps of
like syrups.
Syrups.
Okay. So it's like going to Dutch Brothers coffee.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Give me a kicker to the face right now.
A kicker.
Yeah, sure. That's what I got every time before we would like go and train in Colorado Springs, and I'd get on the ice and feel like I was about to have a heart attack. And I was like, it's the altitude, not the 15 shots of espresso.
Oh, right. Oh, my God. I'm even forgetting that the kicker was the name of something.
Yeah. Oh, my God. So good.
Who do you guys think will be behind Ilya here? Because I do feel like this is a little mini look at probably what's who's fighting for silver at the Olympics.
I want it to be Yuma because...
Me too.
I feel like his skating of all these men is the best.
Yeah, and
but
his programs
like
are the best,
know.
In my opinion, too.
Yeah, they're my favorites.
I just don't know.
You know who I think could be is Shun.
Yeah.
Well, by virtue of just being cleaner.
That's what I think. I think for him, maybe the stakes feel a little bit lower because there's more pressure on people who have medaled at the World Championships before, that he can kind of go into this a little more under the radar and just focus and do his own thing, which could lead him to a podium spot. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him on the podium.
Agreed.
All right, the pairs. There's been highs, there's been lows. There's been lifts on the ground, there's been lifts in the air.
Oh, you were so close to doing, there's been highs, there's been lows, there's been lifts, there's been throws. I thought you were going to rhyme.
Damn it.
And I was going to say there's been lifts that have gone up and lifts that have gone down.
I mean, yes. So you guys were more on the same page and I was thinking, rhyme.
Ugh, rhyming would have been nice. Damn.
Yeah, anyway.
What are we thinking here?
I think this is where Metelkina Berlova shine.
I kind of have that same gut feeling, Ashley. Like like a revenge skate after the mess in Lake Placid.
Well, because they skated scared, and after you skate scared, you come back
angry.
Yeah, I could see them just completely clean in both of these programs easily. Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
Which, of course, could just be us jinxing them yet again.
Well, no, but I said it, and then you said it, too, so it cancels out whatever I'm doing.
Yes, you're right. You're right. Yeah, I could. I mean, I really could. I think that Haza and Volodin are losing momentum.
I agree.
I think that there's only so long that you can go without, like, a lot of feeling in your material before it starts to just flatten.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Especially, I mean, at the beginning of this season, I have been saying that this material is the first time I've ever felt anything. But I think that in order to portray some emotion to the audience, they've had to, like, it's affected what they're doing technically. So I think we've seen them like scale that back a little bit. So I'm feeling less.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to, like, they're going, well, we have to skate clean at the end of the day. Like, we have to land this stuff. So it's like an interesting position. Cause I like, even like Metelkina Brulava, like, I don't necessarily like feel a ton of emotion, but it makes me feel emotional to see somebody skate so cleanly, or to do the jumps so effortlessly. So there's just something to that, like, finesse that makes me feel something.
Yeah, I think I'm thinking about what you're saying and trying to, like, parse the difference in what I feel watching Haza and Volodin and what I feel watching Metelkina Berilava, because they are both pretty prone to strong, clean elements.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I can't put my finger on why, but I think, yeah, the Metelkina Berilava feels less lifeless.
In a way, yeah. I don't know why.
And I don't mean it. I feel like that word sounds excessively harsh for what I mean.
I think that the elements of the Georgians are just more dynamic.
I think that's a good way to put it.
The throws fly. And the landings are like classic Russian pair skating. She can hold them for a mile. And it's classic, gorgeous pair skating.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're right that the Germans also, like, they have very clean, well-done elements. But, like, the Georgians just have that classic Russian style, incredible pair skating.
What about Deanna and Max? What are we thinking?
Third or fourth?
Okay, wow.
I mean, I think that they, look, I mean, this field is, it's a great field, right?
Yeah.
If the thing about Deanna and Max is that if they are completely clean, they will not be as clean as the other completely clean teams. Does that make sense? Like, their version of clean is not the same as Riku and Ryuchi's clean. It's not the same as Sarah and Nicolo's clean. It's not the same as Minerva and Nikita's clean. It's not. And so, you know, I don't think that every team is going to be completely clean. Like, that seems impossible.
It's pair skating.
Right? Yeah. Imagine they are.
Yeah. That would be, well, then you'd know that the Olympics was going to be a disaster.
Yeah.
That's so true.
No, if they're
I don't
all
want
clean
them
here,
to be all clean.
Then Sui and Han will be clean at the Olympics. That's what will happen.
Yeah.
Which I still think might happen.
It's, I mean, it's true. Because listen, I agree with you.
Yeah.
Isn't it crazy to think that, like, they did not qualify for this, and yet in my mind, mentally, they're still podium potential?
Well, because just the, like, they just started competing too early, but it was, like, inevitable that they needed to be out on competitive ice.
Yeah.
So, like, we saw them at one Grand Prix, and then we saw them at the next one, and they just, like, were taking these steps to and getting progressively better, and now they're not traveling. They have more time to train, get things under their belt, address these, like, technical issues that kept them out of the Grand Prix final, and they have what everybody else is chasing, which is an Olympic title. So they have nothing to lose.
They have
and time.
Time. I think it's honestly best case scenario that they aren't here.
Yeah.
Because they're just training.
It's a little like what you said earlier about Jason, Ashley, where it's like, because of their track record, you just feel confident that they will be ready when they need to be.
Yeah.
So giving them this time to not come to the final and, you know, prepare for the Olympics is like almost, it feels unfair almost.
Right.
Like an unfair advantage to give them. Yeah. And then Pavlova and Sviatchenko are here too.
And they could also end up on the podium.
Yeah. I mean, all of these teams have pretty close, like, scoring this season. Riku and Ryuichi have the top score on the Grand Prix by quite a bit. And Pavlova and Sviatchenko are a bit lower than everybody else. But I think that, you know, given the nature of pairs, it doesn't really come down to that. Like, mm-hmm. I think it's just who's really clean.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. With the dance, this is like the final frontier. This is what we've kind of all been waiting for. We've been needing to see, like, the podium from Worlds last year, all competing against the French team. We need to see.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Period. That's it.
What do you guys think is going to happen?
Oh, God. I mean, I think that Laurence and Guillaume are kind of in a position to take this away. I mean, barring disaster.
I mean, I'll say this, that I'm gonna say something about, one, I think that, like, Laurence and Guillaume, I think that their material is beautiful. I think that they skate, they are incredible skaters, all of that aside. I think that, like, Chalk and Bates, we saw how the program developed from one Grand Prix to the next. Like, the reason that they have
so
won Worlds three times is because they take the feedback and they implement it into the routines immediately. That free dance looked much better. And
I enjoyed it so much more this time around.
And we've seen, like, with the levels this year that, like, they're being so strict. Like, it's not just a Sean Redstat thing. It's like every judge is, like, not giving a level 4 to, like, anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go out there and you're, like, very meticulous and you've been implementing all of the feedback that you've been given, it will be harder to, like, not award you the levels that, like, you're going after.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it comes to Piper and Paul, like, you know, I'm a Piper Paul truther. I'm going to Lululemon. I'm in a Lululemon. I would live at a Lululemon.
Me too, honestly.
I really would. And I love that, like, that their free dance this year. I know it's not everyone on this podcast's favorite free dance, but for me, it's like it makes me feel something so deeply that takes, like, years, and it needs a story, and it needs a background, and it needs history to create. And you can't create that in a few months. You can't create that in a season. It's going to just be really interesting to see how this plays all in the same, like, arena with the same characters and everything. So that's what I'm like looking forward to.
It'll be nice to get space to absorb all of this with the same panel and really understand how the dance community has their heads wrapped around these teams. I think it's an opportunity more than anything else.
Yeah, I hope that they all skate well. Like, I don't want to see any, like, big bobbles by anyone, because that creates then, oh, well, this is
the what-ifs.
Yeah, totally. So I don't want to see that. I do think that the only team with a chance to beat Laurence and Guillaume is Maddie and Evan. Mm-hmm. And I think that primarily because four teams
mm-hmm.
have already lost to them. They mm-hmm. like, we've already been told, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, they beat Fear Gibson and Reed Ambrulevicius at Grand Prix France. They beat Gilles and Poirier and Zingis Kolesnik just now in Finland.
Yes.
So like the only team left that has not face them head to head in this field is Maddie and Evan.
Right. I mean, even in Finland, like if Piper and Paul were given like different levels, like it could have been sorted out another way. So it's like, this is the chance for the French to be like, no, we're ahead.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, but the tides could turn so easily. Like that's what's so.
This is going to say a lot.
Yes. I think this will tell us a lot about the direction that we're headed. I guess what I would expect is no matter who wins, that it will be close, intentionally so.
Yes, I agree.
I don't think mm-hmm. they will want anyone to have like a 10-point victory here. I could be wrong.
I think that feels
but
right.
I also think that these results, like this is not a guarantee of what will happen at the Olympics too. Like I don't think that as well. I think that like this isn't not like don't be surprised if the results are different when we get to the Olympics. This is just like a precursor.
I think that there are going to be some people at the Grand Prix final who are not in the top six at the Olympics. Like the way that the field ended up, like I can't believe we're like in a situation where like La Breva Brusso, for instance, are like not around. Like, you know, like
right.
I
or the
can
Italians.
Easily see the yes. Italian team obviously was going to be at home at the Olympics. Like, you know, to imagine that they would be outside of the top six is that's hard
crazy.
For me to imagine.
Yeah.
So I think that, yeah, we're getting a preview, but yeah, this top six, I don't think will be the top six.
I agree.
I agree with that. Yes.
Agreed.
So
I'm excited for Zingis and Kolesnik though.
I am too.
Yeah, me too. I think it's a huge opportunity for them. And I think them being in this field is, I don't know how you end up like leaving them off the Olympic team after this if they skate cleanly at nationals.
Yeah.
I just don't see that.
Right.
So it
this
leaves
is key for them.
Yeah. So it leaves three other teams fighting for one spot at that point.
Oh,
which is
so much stress.
Yeah, I'm going to barf.
I feel a little sick to my stomach. Yeah.
See you in St. Louis.
Meet me in St. Louis. Yeah. Okay.
Well,
Grand Prix final.
Yeah, that's it. Should we get to the draft or Patreon section?
Oh yeah, Patreon only draft.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're gonna draft everybody in the field this.
Yes.
This week,
oh yeah.
Six each. So, yeah, if you want to hear who we're drafting,
head on over to the Patreon. And one final reminder. We are going to have our tickets for Patreon go live on Tuesday, and everybody else, it's going live on Wednesday. But we have a Thursday show and a Saturday show at U.S. Championships at Keener Plaza. We're not making you sit outside, but you do have to go outside to see us.
Yes.
So, like we said, it's just a 10-minute walk from
it
the
really
arena.
It will feel so good.
And
we
risk.
Promise.
It
yes.
is. It's going to feel great.
But we are so excited to see you. And
so excited for the Grand Prix final.
Yeah,
so true.
I actually am quite excited.
No, me too. I love this event. It's my favorite event of the year.
All right, everybody. We'll see you next week talking Grand Prix final.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.